We're going to talk a little bit about the history of IRAs. About 30 some odd years ago, there was a lot of problem with Chrysler's financial problems, Big Steel. Many companies were shutting down that people had worked for and their folks had worked for and their grandparents had worked for, and they were worried about their pensions. So Congress came up with an idea that you could save on your own for your retirement. It's called the Individual Retirement Account. And it started off, there were, you could put $1,500 or $2,000 in there a year. And it was a trust. In law, an IRA is a trust. Now, that means that there are certain rules with the trust, and it has a purpose. And the purpose of this trust is for you to have funds available to you when you retire. And because they won't tax them while they're in there, then they have some guidelines for that. And so when it first started out, to have a trust, you must have a trustee or a custodian, someone that holds the money, has the rules to the trust, looks at the rules and makes sure that you follow them, and then holds on to the money. So when it first began, there was only, say, $2,000 a year that could go into these. And you had to be qualified. You had to meet certain guidelines from the IRS to be a trustee. And the ones that did it were banks and brokerage houses. And so people would go deposit the money in there, maybe a little bit every week or every paycheck, until they met their certain contribution limits. And away we went. Well, over a period of time, the IRA laws began to change and began to add certain things like 401ks and SEPs and allowing people to put more money in. Well, here we are, you know, say 20 years goes by. All of a sudden, there's quite a bit of money in there and available for reinvestment. Now, the law was always set up that IRAs could invest in basically anything. There's no investment that is approved by the IRS. They don't approve investments. But what they do say in the law, there are two things you can't invest in. One is collectibles and the other is life insurance. Now, why would that be? Well, the purpose of the trust is for you to have money at retirement, not when you die. So that's why you can't use your retirement to buy life insurance. The other thing is collectibles. They don't want you to buy a painting and hope that your retirement, you know, that whenever you retire, that it turns into the Mona Lisa. So they said you can't do those two things. Other than that, the door is wide open. Now, there are people you can't deal with, which we've got a classroom session on prohibited parties. Now, as more and more money got into the IRAs, pretty soon some pretty savvy investors begin to say, wait a minute, I have $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $1 million in my retirement account, and I hate the stock market. I'm an expert in real estate, or I'm an expert in software. Why can't I use that invested in other areas? Well, they would go to their custodian. Now, how does a custodian make money? Well, the banks and brokerage houses, when they first started, they said, hey, we'll act as your custodian. You sign a custodial agreement with us. And then if you'll invest with us, then we'll manage your account and we'll be the custodian. Well, that's fine and dandy and certainly acceptable and worked out real well. But whenever you walked in and said, hey, there's a piece of property down the street here, a rental, I'd like to take $100,000 and buy it. I could rent it out for $600 a month. That's going to give me 5 or 6% a year return. It's going to go up in appreciation. And I know that it's not going to be like an Enron. It could go down if the real estate market turns, but it's not going to go from $76 a share to about $5 a share like Enron did. Well, the first thing they're going to say is, sorry, you can't do that. Now, what they mean is, you can't do that and us be your custodian, because we won't have any way to make any money off of that. But people assume that they mean you can't do that because the IRA law won't let you do that. And that is simply not true. Now, as these things begin to grow, then pretty soon there was enough interest out there that some companies got the idea, why don't we be a self-directed custodian? And we'll act as a custodian for you. We'll meet all the IRS guidelines, and it's usually a trust division of a bank. The one we use has been doing this for 23 years. But we'll act as your custodian, and guess what? We'll make the money off of you by just charging you an annual fee, and then we don't care what you invest in. You have to follow the guidelines, But we don't care if you buy property. You can buy a business if you like. So this industry was born, and soon people begin to realize that if I can buy a company, why can't we form an LLC and the IRA be 100% owner? And thanks to a court case called Swanson versus the Commissioner, this is all possible now. And it's been, that was in 1996. The case has been cited many times as precedent. And simply put, instead of owning some stock in Walmart or GM or Ford, your IRA owns 100% of an LLC, is the sole stockholder, if you will, or sole member, and you're named as a manager. Now, you still have to follow the IRS guidelines and rules in investing, but the funds are moved from wherever you have them now, and we can roll all kinds of accounts, 401ks, SEPs, anything, to a new custodian. The reason we have to move it is your old custodian says, well, you can't do that because if you do, we can't get a commission off of real estate. We can't get a commission off of if you want to buy a franchise, you want to go buy Subway or something. We don't make any money, so you can't do it. So we have to move it from your current custodian to a new custodian, approved IRS, bank, it's a trustee. That means your funds are kept in a separate account. Even if the bank went broke, your money is in a separate account. So that's what all trustees are. They have to do that. But anyway, your money doesn't stay there anyway. Your money is moved to the self-directed custodian. We then form the LLC on your behalf, on behalf of the IRA, and then the money is moved from your custodian, the new custodian, into the LLC. And now it's funded. And now you have a checkbook in your purse or in your back pocket, and you simply write a check for the investments and do what Congress said you could do for the past 30 years. The difference is you've got a custodian that says, hey, as long as we get a fee every year, we don't care what you buy as long as you follow the rules. So there's a reason you haven't heard of it, because your broker's not going to tell you any more than the last time you bought a piece of real estate. If you used a real estate broker, they didn't take you around and show you all the for sale by owners because they won't get a commission. So the first step is self-directed custodian. But it works partly to that point, but then you still have to go to them for every investment. This way, you only go to them for one investment, and that is the LLC. Your IRA only has one asset in it, and that is the LLC. And then we don't have to deal with the paperwork anymore. You just simply have the check. And every time you buy a piece of property or any kind of investment, it is titled in the LLC's name. If you collect rent or the profit from selling a piece of property, it goes into the LLC and it stays there. And because LLCs are tax flow through entities, sorry, then the tax liability goes to the IRA, and of course, they have none. So this is the steps. This is how this industry came about.